If you've got your Bibles tonight, I preached this morning on the cornerstone. I've been doing some studying on just exactly who Jesus is. And the psalmist described him as a stone that the builders rejected, that he was refused. But I'm looking tonight in the book of John chapter number 1. Verse 28 and 29, I'll read two verses here. John introduced him in a little bit different way. In John chapter 1, verse 28, he said, "These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, for John was baptizing. And the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." The first thing I want to draw your attention to is the place where this event took place at. It was in Jordan. Jordan was the place. He tells us the exact location. It was Bethabara. That's where it was. This was a real time, a real place, a real event that occurred. This wasn't no makeup story. This is not make-believe. But John was there baptizing that day. I see here, I also see the preacher. The preacher was John. John was doing the preaching. John was an effective preacher. I believe that there are a lot of ministers today that would like to have what John had. You say, where do you get that? He was baptizing. How many ministers would love to get up and preach and people come forward and say, "I want to be baptized"? Are you with me? He was preaching the gospel. People was coming forward and being baptized. But I also see the person. His name was Jesus. And John gave him an introduction that was interesting to me. He said, "Behold the Lamb of God." The world needs to see the Lamb of God. We don't hear enough about Jesus today. We don't sing enough songs about Jesus. You say, well, you're always making a big deal about Jesus. He is a big deal. There's no bigger deal than what Jesus is. When we lift him up, the Bible says he'll draw all men unto him. I believe that we need to get back to talking more about Jesus. But John, this is interesting to me. He did not introduce him as just some lamb. He did not introduce him as just a lamb, but he introduces him as the lamb. It begs the question, who is he and why did he come? I wrote down just a few things. He is a sacrificial Lamb of God. No other lamb has ever been introduced like this lamb. There must have been something special about this lamb, just by the way John introduced him to the people that was there that day on the banks of the shore waiting to be baptized. I want you to know who he is and what he came for. I began to pencil some things down. At Bethlehem, he was the cradle lamb. At Calvary, he was the crucified lamb. At the Mount of Ascension, he was the carried away lamb. And today he is the coming back lamb. In Genesis, he's the lamb that is in the garden. In Matthew, he is the lamb of Gethsemane. In John, he's the lamb of God. In Mark, he's the lamb of Golgotha. In Luke, he is the lamb coming out of the grave. And in Revelation, he is the lamb of glory that stands in the midst of it all. He is the lamb that bore our sins. He's the lamb that bore our sins. I thank you for what he's done for me, Anthony. He's the lamb that bore our shame. He's the lamb that bore our suffering. He's the lamb that bore our sorrows. He is a slain lamb. He is a sacrificial lamb. He is a spotless lamb. He is a sovereign lamb. He is the heavenly lamb. He is the holy lamb. He is the humble lamb. He is the divine lamb. He is the devoted lamb. He is the darling lamb. He is the forgiving lamb. He is the faithful lamb. He is the free lamb. He is the lamb of our fathers. He is the perfect lamb. He is the promised lamb. He is the pre-existing lamb. He is the providing lamb. He is a personal lamb. He is a precious lamb. He is the lamb that fulfilled all prophecy. He is the lamb that fed the poor. He is a lamb that gave forgiveness of the past. He is a lamb that fixes, that frees prisoners. He is a lamb that feels our pain. He is a lamb that takes away our sins. He is a lamb that triumphs over Satan. He is a lamb that transforms sinners. He is a lamb that talks to saints. He was Moses' lamb. He was Mary's lamb. He was Martha's lamb. And he was Matthew's lamb. And the promise and praise God, he is my lamb. The precious Lamb of God. In the Bible, whenever the wise men came seeking him at Jerusalem, you remember the story? They said, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews?" What they were really saying is, "Where is the Lamb?" If we could call back some of the patriarchs of old, Noah would say, "I saw him in a boat." Moses would say, "I saw him in a burning bush." His mother would say, "I saw him in a bulrush." Jonah would say, "I saw the Lamb of God in a fish." Noah would say, "I saw the Lamb in a flood." Isaac would say, "I saw the Lamb in a thicket." Joshua would say, "I saw the Lamb in the tabernacle." Simeon would say, "I saw the Lamb in the temple." Joshua would say, "I saw the Lamb in a tabernacle." Zacchaeus would say, "I saw the Lamb in a tree." The thief would say, "I saw the Lamb hanging on an old rugged cross." The demoniac would say, "I saw the Lamb among the tombs." Martha would say, "I saw the Lamb out of the tomb." The angels would say, "He is not here, for he is risen." The risen Lamb that has conquered death, hell, and the grave. Adam would say, "He was in the garden." James would say, "I saw him at Gethsemane praying." Pilate would say, "I saw him on the hill called Golgotha dying." Death would say, "I saw him in the grave sleeping." But John the Revelator said, "I saw him in glory in the midst. Thereof was the Lamb." We need to get back to preaching about the Lamb of God. And that means if we're preaching about the Lamb of God, we have to talk a lot about the blood. He introduced him because no lamb has ever influenced the world like this lamb. He influences the rich. He influences the poor. He influences the great. He influences the small. He influences the guilty and the innocent. He influences the bond and the free. He influences the good and the bad. He influences the young and the old, the wise and the unlearned. He influences the cripples and the drunkards, the drug addicts. He influences kings and emperors, harlots and murderers, thieves and liars. He influences the homosexuals and sinners and changes their lives. There's no one like the Lamb of God. When we get away from the Lamb of God and what He has done, we're in trouble. I remember a story, you may have read it. You may have heard the account. I think I probably shared this illustration with you before. But there was a man that worked at a slaughterhouse, just a hired hand. He worked there all of his life and been there for many, many years. The owner of the butcher shop told him one day, he said, things are going to be a little bit different today. We've got a rancher that's going to bring in a load of sheep for slaughter. He'd butchered cattle, he'd butchered pigs, he'd butchered everything that had come through. And he said, I didn't realize how different that day would be. He said, but the cattle and the different animals, you unload them on the trailer, and it's almost like they can sense or smell death. They have to use cattle prods and goad them to get them out of the trailer and through the chutes and into the slaughterhouse, into the killing pen. Some of you have taken livestock in for butcher. And it's almost like they know what's getting ready to take place. But he said that day they pulled the trailer up there, backed it up, and put out a board. And those sheep just began to come out one by one, just walking, like they didn't have a care in the world. He said, there I was standing next to the corral with a knife in my hand. He said, that sheep come over there. And he said, I began to reach for it to grab it. He said, usually I was used to them trying to get away from me. But he said, that little lamb just laid its head in my hand. I put the knife in the lamb's throat. He said, he raised his head up, lowered it back down and began to lick the blood and began to lick the blood that was in my hand. He said, there was something that welled up inside of me at that time. And he said, it changed me forever. He said, I remembered the passage in Isaiah said, he was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearer is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. There was no other lamb like this lamb. He did not have to go to Calvary. He did not have to shed his blood, but he done it for you and I. The Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb. No other lamb like this lamb. I began to do some studying, and I found out that and especially in third world countries, whenever they've got a disease or an illness and they don't know what to do and they begin to start taking samples and trying to figure out what the cause of it is, they'll take water samples and they'll take food samples and they'll put that in sterile vials and begin to do some testing on it. And what an interesting thing I found about it is they'll take and put that in a Petri dish. They'll put so much in there, they'll measure it out, and they'll take lamb's blood, sheep's blood, that is pure, that is undefiled, and they'll put that in there, and the bacteria, the bad stuff, will start attacking that pure blood. They can find out exactly what kind of bacteria it is by the way that it grows and by the way it develops and come up with a cure, an antidote by the lamb's blood. You can't make this stuff up. Goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 1. You remember Adam. God created Adam. He didn't make Adam, he created him. He was created in the likeness and in the image of God. By the time that you get to chapter 3 of the book of Genesis, Adam is now 130 years old. Adam has a son by the name of Seth. Seth is made in the image of Adam. Did anybody ever catch that? Adam was made in the image of God, in the image and likeness of God. Seth was made in the image of Adam. But he wasn't made in the likeness of God. What happened? When Adam sinned, Adam lost his likeness. Everyone has lost. We're created in the image of God, but we have a sin likeness. But when that precious blood of Jesus Christ comes into our heart and into our life and washes us on the inside, saves us to the uttermost, we take back on the likeness of God. You know how you know if you're saved? I'll tell you, just real simple. If you like the things that God likes, if you like coming to church, if you like to see people praying around the altars, if you like reading the Word, if you like seeing people get saved, we take on the likeness of God. We cannot be like God without the blood of the Lamb. I see also the invitation of the Lamb. There are three things. You mean you still give invitations? Yes, I give invitations. I still believe that people need to come and pray. If the Bible says that the Spirit and the bride say come, I think I'm on safe ground when I say come. I still believe invitations is important. I still believe in old-fashioned altars. I believe that we need to have a place to pray. You get to studying and reading about Abraham everywhere he went. He dug wells and built altars. I think they're important. The first thing that I see about the invitation, he tells us to come and dine at his table. There's a communion that we can have that we can have no other place. The old song says, come and dine. Come and dine. You remember when the disciples, they had went back to their old way of living. They went back to fishing. They seen someone on the bank that had a fire going. Got a little bit closer and he says, have you any fish? They toiled all night and caught nothing. He said, come on and dine. I tell you what, I don't know what it's going to be like to eat heavenly biscuits, but I can't wait to get there to try them. There's something about eating at the master's table. If you're not saved, if you've never experienced heavenly manna, you don't know what I'm talking about. But there's something special about eating at God's table, where God has prepared a meal just for you. And he wraps you in his arms, and it seems like you're his only child. There is a love that is there. I'll tell you what, there's a difference. Whenever my wife fixes me a meal out of love, or she just throws something together. Some of you men know what I'm talking about. I mean, when they make it special, they cook exactly what you like and what they know that you want. And then after it's done, they got something special in the oven that's just waiting. That's the way it's like. That's the way it's like whenever he says, come and dine. When we come to church and we sit down at the master's table, he has your favorite meal already prepared. I tell you, it's all you can eat. All you can eat. And then the dessert on top of it. Just about the time you don't think it can get any better, it gets better. Sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. And then I see the invitation to drink from his fountain. There's times that I get thirsty, and there's absolutely nothing that will satisfy until I get a drink from the water of life. Some of y'all been there. Lord, I need another touch. Lord, fill my cup. I lift it up. I've been in a hot, dry, barren land. Lord, I need to feel your presence. He said he would give us a drink from the water, a well springing up. There's only one person that can satisfy your thirst, and his name is Jesus. I thought about the world. They're looking for something. They're longing for satisfaction. Some are turning to the bottle. Some are turning to pills. Some are turning to worldly entertainment, concerts, and the various things, attractions and entertainment. And there's nothing wrong with some of that stuff. But you'll never find satisfaction until you drink of the living water. The third invitation. He invites you to die in his arms. Brother Isaac, I've had the privilege to watch several people make their crossing. It's different, Brother Robert, when you know that they know what's waiting on the other side. An invitation to die in his arms. I've seen people that I went and visited, and I knew that they was anxious. They was worried. And I knew the moment I laid eyes on them that they wasn't ready to die. You say, how do you know? You'll know. Because God will give them dying grace. He'll give you grace when at times comes time to cross Jordan's chilly river. He's not going to let you forge that river alone because he's already been across it. Brother Virgil, you've seen it. You know what I'm talking about. There is such a thing as dying grace. He will give you grace when that time comes to die gracefully in the arms of the Almighty, the sweet Lamb of God. I've been in the room and felt the presence of heavenly visitors. I don't know how else to describe it. There's one old preacher, and I'll tell you this and then I'll close. There's one old elderly preacher, he'd gotten up in years, and he would preach a sermon, and then he'd have to go back to bed and lay in bed, and somebody else would die, one of his old classmates and one of his old friends, and he'd get himself gathered up, and he'd go preach the funeral. Go back and have to rest. There's something in him. He couldn't stop preaching. Well, his kids got him a cell phone. He said he didn't know how to operate the thing. And so they told him, said, well, whenever it rings, just answer the phone. If you need help, call 911. So one of the kids said, Dad, I'm going to set up some of your ringtones. Well, he didn't know what that was. So they fixed his phone up, and every one of them had a different ringtone. And he was out there at the cemetery on top of the hill out there preaching a graveside service, getting ready to commit the body. And he said that one of his phone began to ring, and he didn't know how to turn it off. And that ringtone that began to play with, some of y'all, Donna and I know, and probably Devon remember Claude Ely. He wrote that song, a Pentecostal preacher. He wrote that song, Ain't No Grave Gonna Hold This Body Down. And that was what was coming on for his ringtone. He said, I kicked both feet up in the air when I had myself a shouting time. You know what? We can because the Lamb of God. One of these days they're going to commit this body to the grave. If the Lord doesn't come back, but because of the Lamb of God, I have hope of a life eternal. This grave is not going to be the end of this old preacher. The grave is just going to be the beginning. I'll shout and sing for all eternity for what He's done for me. I would like to introduce you to the Lamb of God. John seen something that nobody else seen. The precious Lamb of God. I've done my best tonight. Let's come around. Let's pray. If you have nothing else to pray for, come and just thank Him for what He's done for you. He is the precious Lamb.